Welcome to Kayak Fishing Radio West, your show for all things kayak fishing in Oregon, Washington, California, and beyond. Now, here's your host, Isaac the Nothing Miller.
Hey folks, thanks for tuning in to Kayak Fishing Radio West. This is Isaac the Nothing Miller. While you're listening, you can tune in at kayakfishingradio.com. And there you can find our links to Facebook and Twitter. Follow us on both to keep track of what is going on with all the Kayak Fishing Radio shows throughout the week. Lord knows we've got several of them. Feel free to give me a call tonight, as you can do any night of the week. The call-in number is 714-816-4727. You can also join into the chat room and talk with other kayak anglers or ask any questions you might have there as well. Still waiting for tonight's guest to call in, but tonight's topic is Mothership Albacore Tuna. I'm headed out, big trip Thursday. It's going to be the second time ever people have loaded up kayaks in Oregon onto a boat, gone 30, 40, 50 miles offshore, threw the kayaks in the water, and went fishing for albacore. So it's the second time that's ever been done in Oregon. I know it's been done elsewhere, but it's taken us years to get this going here in Oregon. So I'm excited to be on, like I said, the second trip ever in just a couple of days. I've spent the last, week or so just really getting things ready. Spent the last couple hours down in the garage making sure I had the kayak ready. Installed some new bow and stern lines, which you need to have, to get the kayaks into the water. You want some good long lines. I'm running 10 to 12 foot lines, bow and stern. They tie up real neat in the cleat that I already had for my anchor trolley, which, since I'm not using the anchor, the trolley's gone. It's for the first time ever. I think I've taken it off the kayak, but that's all ready to go. Put in a new flush mount, Scotty, and I'll clip my Yak Attack Visipole onto there, back behind me, out of the way. Traveling really light on the boat. We're just throwing all the dry gear and PFDs inside the kayak, as well as the rods that I'm going to be using when I'm in the water. Those are going in the kayak as well. Not going to be taking a milk crate with me. Not taking my toolbox with me. Keeping things real light. I've got a couple of boxes of lures. Going to be trolling, probably trolling the majority of the time. I've picked up a couple of Rapala Magnum X-Wrap 15s, big 5-inch crankbaits, along with a CR-14 from Rapala. Various colors, of course. Silvers and blues work really well. Silvers and greens. Things like baby Dorado patterns, sardine patterns, that type of thing. Going to work out really well out there in the ocean. When you're on a boat, you're generally going to use bigger Rapalas, things like the 20s and the 30s, the big baits. Unfortunately, those create a lot of drag, and when you're fishing from a kayak, you need to be able to get up to trolling speed, and that's going to be very difficult to do when you're trolling big plugs like the 15s, the 20s and the 30s from Rapala. There's other manufacturers out there making big plugs for these types of fish. I know Yuzuri is one of them. There's a few others. I just stuck with what I know, what everyone talks about, so that's the way I went. The Magnum X-Wrap 15s, like I said, also the CR-14, very similar size. The CR-14 has a metal bill. It's a square bill. Slightly different wiggle to that lure. A little bit faster movement, might be a little bit better. I'm going to have them all with me, switch them up as I need to, whatever it's going to take to get the fish. tying up, what else are we going to be using out there? I'm going to be using some swim baits, doing 1.5 ounce jig heads with some 4 and 5 inch swim baits. Those are great for trolling as well as casting. Good way to go just all around in that with that setup, with that swim bait. Like I said, it works, you know, casting. If you've got a school right on you, you can cast out to them. If you're trolling, you can just throw that out the back. It'll do its work, and we're going to go from there. You know, the first trip out, a lot of the guys ran 2 rods. They also learned when they hooked up with the fish, 2 rods became a nightmare. Big problem, you know, Murphy's Law, as you know, as it would suggest, that fish is just going to go and wrap up in your other line. That did happen to at least one person, if not 2, on the last trip. So I'm just going to rig up, you know, swim bait on 1 rod and the crankbait on the other. Switch them back and forth. You know, that's the nice thing. Taking 2 rods out, you can always have one rigged up differently. So that's my plan. Run 1. That crankbait's not working. Throw out the swim bait. While that's out, I can switch plugs. Go on from there. It's a good way to go. Another thing that I'm doing, and if you follow me on Facebook, Twitter, or on Google+, you would have seen this by now. I tied up a bunch of flies. I'm still hoping to get the rod in the mail tomorrow at this point, but I ordered a brand new TFO X, or what is it? TICRX, something like that. Great saltwater rod. It's a very strong rod. I ordered, and waiting for that to show up. Going to be throwing some big flies at these tuna. Best part with the rod that I ordered, I'm also going to be using that all the time when I'm on the saltwater. It's also going to be perfect for rockfish and lingcod when they're up on the surface. And, you know, Chinook as well. That'll be a killer rod for some Chinook fishing. So hopefully that'll show up tomorrow, because I really want to be the first person in Oregon to catch an albacore on the fly from the kayak. Be killer. Guys have done it on the fly before, but they've all been in power boats. Just going to mix it up a little bit. Like I said, I've got probably close to 12 flies here, various patterns. These are the first flies I have ever tied, complete newbie at this. Like I said, Facebook, Twitter, and Google+, they've all got some pictures of the flies that I've tied up. I used big 3-aught Gamakatsu SC15 hooks. They're made for salt water. They've got a good tin plate to them, so they're not going to rust up on me. I can save them for later dates. And they're going to hold the fish really well. Did a variety of different looks to them. Big streamers, naturally. Got some sardine style patterns. A lot of blues and whites. Got some chartreuse and whites. I've got one that I call my Seahawks 12th man. I got some white, silver, blue chartreuse. It's pretty. All the flies are about 3.5 to 5 inches long. Puts a perfect bait size. Maybe a little bit small, but a great bait size nonetheless for Oregon albacore tuna. Like I said, I am excited for that. Absolutely excited for that. Don't know what else to say more than I'm just plain excited. Other fishing around the area has been great. Buoy 10, like I said last week, is closed for Chinook salmon, but it is still open. I thought I had it figured out, but it is still open for cohos, and coho are being slayed out there. It's just been insane. A ton of fish caught. Of course, if you're out there, if you catch a wild coho, one that still has its adipose fin intact, or if you catch a Chinook, those have to go back in the water. But hatchery coho, those that are missing the adipose fin, those are still open and free to the take, and they're just full out there in Astoria. you know, further upriver, things are going really well. Is going really well too. I know Chinook fishing around Portland, down around the Portland airport. Hit and miss. Some days it's been awesome. Other days, not so much. If you listen to last week's show, you've got all the information on how to catch those fish. You know, anchor up, throw out a wobbler, sit and wait, throw on a jet diver, troll it around, that type of thing. There's plenty of ways to catch these fish, and they're working. I did get the opportunity, that was yesterday. I went out with Marvin's Guide Service, and we headed up to the Bonneville Dam area of the Columbia River, back trolled some quick fish, 14s, 13s, 14s, and 15s, using Marvin's, you know, secret recipe sardine brine. Got those wrapped up really well. Saw several takes down, saw several fish caught. We had one hit, one quick swipe, and it was gone. Nothing to the boat, unfortunately. But, you know, like I said, the fish are out there. Mornings are definitely the best time. Really hot up here this week in the Northwest. Everyone says summer's over. Summer's just getting to us now. 90s all this week. Upper 80s, and I think they even got a 90 on the charts for Seattle as well. Very hot for this time of year. It's been a long time since I've seen 90-degree temperatures this late in the year, but hey, it's awesome. We'll take it. Summer's finally here. Like I said, because of that, fishing's generally going to be the best in the morning. Things just get too hot. Those fish go really deep. They get some lockjaw. They're very hard to catch. I think most of the fish we saw caught yesterday were caught between 6 a.m. and probably 9 a.m., if not 10. It was some pretty good action. I didn't cover the Bonneville section last week on Kayak Fishing Radio. The main reason for that, the water up there moves really fast. Not a good place for kayaks. You're going to have a really hard time holding your ground. But as I said, last week down here from, say, right around the Sandy River area all the way down to Astoria, good kayak fishing waters. And they're very productive. There's a lot of fish down there. You can't go wrong if you visit any of those waters. From there, you know, after this week, I got to get ready for the next adventure bass yakking tournament. That's coming up on Saturday, September 17th. And got a lot of great guys signed up. Going to be some stiff competition. Anglers from Oregon, Washington, and Idaho. Idaho's still a rumor. Last I heard, there was at least going to be a couple of guys coming from Idaho. And it's going to be a good time. The fishing for that is open to all public waters within a 50-mile radius of the Next Adventure Paddle Sports Center in Portland. So, you know, great fishing to be had. Like I've mentioned several times in the last few weeks, Hag Lake in Oregon, known for record size smallmouth. Silver Lake in Southwest Washington. I say Southwest because there's two or three Silver Lakes in Washington. But the one in Southwest Washington, just north of Vancouver, phenomenal smallmouth bass fishery. Phenomenal. There's many guys that make their living guiding for bass on that lake. Good fishing there. And, of course, the Columbia River, the Willamette River, both excellent options. The sloughs off the Columbia, great places. If the water's not too warm, going to find some fish in there as well. There was a bass tournament a couple of weeks ago out on the Columbia, and I think that actually included the Willamette River as well, because I saw a lot of boats coming through there. Pro bass guys, or at least amateur bass, it was a good money tournament. Fishing for them was tough, but they got a lot of fish. I saw guys that were even pulling their boats up through the sloughs. They're, you know, they had a great tournament. Fortunately, by now, any of the pressure that those fish were feeling at the time of that tournament, fish should be calmed down now. They're back in the waters. You're going to be able to catch them. We've seen a couple of videos and a lot of photos from the Willamette. Places like the Willamette Park, just in downtown, as well as George Rogers Park down in Lake Oswego. Saw some great footage from those areas, some good quality bass being caught, and I'm pretty sure most guys are probably going to be fishing that area. I'd say lower Willamette River. Most guys probably going to be going from Willamette Park, George Rogers. They might even go all the way down. Might go as far as Clackamas. That gets a little far in my book. But that rocky stretch south of Portland holds some great smallmouth bass. Of course, the tournament's also open to largemouth bass. If you've got a good small lake, like I said, it's got to be a public lake. Cannot be a private pond. No farm bassing. There's some great largemouth in those areas. Those are open and eligible for this tournament as well. I just think a lot of the guys are going to be going after the smallies because they're the most plentiful, easiest to find, and pretty much always willing to eat. If you want more information about the Next Adventure Bass Yakking Tournament, head over to nextadventure.net. That's also where you're going to have to pre-register for the tournament. If you sign up by this Saturday, it's $20. If you sign up after this Saturday, it's a $30 entry. They've got some cool prizes that they're going to be raffling off. Great trophies for the top three. Other places for information, you can also check out nwka.org and yakangler.com. I've been copying all the updated information from Next Adventure onto Yak Angler, so that way you've got two great sources of information. Can't miss this tournament. I'm excited for it. I got a bunch of cool new lures here from fishcreekspinners.com, and I'm excited to get these bit. Got some great spinners in here, and they look really fishy. So I'll be putting those through the routine. And, of course, I'll take one of the fly rods out there. Can't go wrong with that. These streamers, I bet you I can find a couple of smallies that'll hit these streamers. They're looking pretty tasty. Starting to get the feeling that our guest isn't going to be joining us tonight, unfortunately. I've already covered pretty much everything that I'm doing for the tuna trip. I was hoping he was going to be able to fill in a lot of the other questions and get you painted a bigger picture. I'll see if I can hold off a little bit longer for him. Like I said, I'm taking my Trident 15. Hopefully I can hang out in the wind. It's going to be a rough day out there, it looks like. The swell's been brought down to 7 feet, which is a lot better than what they were saying last week. Last week they were talking twice that size, 13-foot seas. So taking the Trident 15, I know it can handle that. I've done 8-foot before and handled it just fine. Got a good 12 to 13-second period in between the swells. So that should take the edge off quite a bit. And just get to work. I installed the bow and stern lines. And getting rods rigged up. I'm taking two rods with me, like I mentioned. I'm borrowing a ugly stick, good old, you know, unbreakable ugly stick tiger rod, a 2202. It's a 7-foot heavy rod. Great if you're fishing big sturgeon here in the Portland area, but it's also a great rod for albacore as well. The rods were rated for 30 to 60 pound line. I'll be running about 30 pound monofilament on that rod with a, what am I have on there? Daiwa Sealine 50H tied up to that as well. Get those fish cranked back to the kayak. The backup rod, and this is the one I'll probably do any of the casting that I need to do, is a Shimano Segura rod. It's actually their jigging rod, their lower end to the Travala series. That rod's a medium action, and that is rated to, what is that, 30 to 50 pound Power Pro. And I will be using 30 pound Power Pro on that, attached to a Daiwa Sealine 47H. And, you know, because these fish are good at peel and drag, I've removed the level wind from the reel. That'll help things not bind up, you know, should that happen. Get rid of the level wind so that way it's not going to happen. I just rebuilt that reel earlier this year, so should be able to hand up to anything these fish have to offer. I'm excited to do that. Still can't wait. Of course, like I said, I got the brand new TFO rod, the TICRX. It's got a great amount of power behind that rod, so should be able to force these fish back to me when I get them hooked up on the streamers. Of course, gotta hope I get the rod, and if I have the rod, I gotta hope I can find them right up on the surface so I can use it. Excited. You know, I really guess, you know, like I said, unfortunately our guest ended up not being able to join us tonight. So hopefully we can get at least one or two guys on next week after this tuna trip, telling you all about it, what we did to get prepared for it, and what you would need to do should you find yourself on a mothership tuna trip or any type of mothership adventure. Things are a lot different out there. Like I said, you're not hauling a lot of gear, and you're not paddling near as much. Of course, you know, when you're not, I don't know anybody, generally speaking, that's going to be paddling 50 miles offshore. But, you know, we're going to stick within probably a mile to mile and a half of the mothership and just work these albacore. Looking forward to it. Don't forget all to check out all our other kayak fishing radio shows throughout the week. Mondays, 8 o'clock Eastern, 5 o'clock Pacific is Redfish Chuck. And he's on the east coast of Florida, giving us all the news from there. We follow that up with the west coast of Florida show. That's on Tuesdays, again, 5 o'clock Pacific. That's with Rob Abad Backcastivore. He's a great blogger, by the way. If you haven't seen his blog, check it out, abadbackcast.com. He does a lot of great fishing out there, a lot of fly fishing on the kayak. All around great guy, some good stories too. Wednesdays, we've got Mark Wheeler. He brings up the Central Atlantic coast from the Virginia Beach area. And he's on, again, 5 o'clock Pacific time. Thursdays, we have Chip Gibson with the original Thursday night roundtable discussion of Kayak Fishing Radio. It's a great show to get on to. There's a whole lot of folks from throughout the U.S., calling in, talking about kayak fishing, be it in general, specifically about their area, all sorts of things going on that show. It's a great one to check out. And Fridays, yes, we finally have a Friday show. Friday nights, 5 o'clock Pacific, is Dennis Spike. Great, excellent guy. He's been a guest on my show before. He's got his own show on Fridays now. And you definitely don't want to miss that show at all. Talking about fishing in general, how to get started in kayak fishing, doing a lot of great tips. Of course, Spike has been kayak fishing forever. Started his website, kayakfishing.com, in 1997. Been fishing for well before that as well. He's done the first kayak fishing video, as far as I know, the first video ever published on DVD was with Dennis Spike. His show again, Fridays, 5 o'clock. his first show was just last week, so check out his second show coming up on Friday. It's going to be a good time. That's all I have for you folks tonight. Sorry my guest didn't call in, but hopefully I got you at least some information out there. Don't forget, check me out next week, Tuesday nights, 7 o'clock, same time every week. See y'all later.